Hey, isn't worship awesome? You know, most of the theology and doctrinal things that stick with us come through worship. You know, the old hymns, the new songs, they're the ones that get in our heads, and that's how we view and think and see God and Holy Spirit. And I'm such a baby when I come up here. You know, they were singing the song, I don't even know which one it is, but it says, "You walk through all my walls." Yeah, yeah. Whew. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but the day I gave my life to Christ, I had settled in myself that I was going to commit suicide. And I said, I'm going to go and say goodbye to my mom at least. So I walked to my parents' bedroom and I woke up my mom. And I just gave her a hug. And she went back to sleep and I went back to my room. And I got back to my room and I just felt like Jesus walked through the walls. And not even a minute later, my mom shows up and she's like, I have no idea what's going on, but let's pray. I just, off the ground, and I said, Lord, if you can't do anything with my life, I'm going to end it right now. And he just came in, broke through the walls and said, I love you. And I just felt super strong this morning that I wanted to release that. And I think if you're struggling with that, God wants you to hear that. He's breaking through walls and he wants you to know that he loves you and he cares for you. And that you're valuable enough for him to go to the cross. Holy Spirit, can I actually share something? So, when me and David talked for a little bit, you know, and this is one of those rare moments. I you know, we have a tannery, and I'm super busy, and I'm working with animals, and I'm working with the guys, and it's a rough environment, and it's just. And I just happened to have a weird day off, just kind of, and I poked my head in, and we talked, and he's telling me I'm about the make it or break it moments, and we're talking about legacy, and I just felt that the Holy Spirit really wanted to release legacy and what that looks like for us. And legacy means a lot of things. The obvious, you know, property, money, an office, a position, skill set, history, set of values and beliefs. And I just want to explore that just a little because there's just way too much in there and we do not have enough time. But let's just explore that a little bit. I was mentioning last night how I love how the Bible is so unapologetic. You know, the Bible. God could have left out all the scrappy characters out in the Bible, and it would have been so nice and neat, and God loves you, and he has a plan for you, but then you read about all the scrappy characters that are rough and tumble, that totally messed up, that, I mean, just crazy lives, and I love that, and I love that the Bible does not apologize for that. You know what's cool is that the sum of that is that we are imperfect people saved by a perfect God. Have you ever had to start over? Have Have you ever been knocked to where your air, you don't have any air, you don't want to crawl out of bed, you don't want to go to work anymore, you don't want to be a dad anymore, you don't want to be a father, you don't want to be a husband anymore, you don't want to. I've had to start over so many times. I debated whether to share the peanut brittle story this morning, but I think I'm going to. So before I got saved, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me and just coming in dreams, and I would hear things and I would see things, and I'm like, what is going on? I do not understand this world. And for 2 weeks, I just told my boss, I said, give me every single shift. Let me work doubles. I was working in a restaurant. I said, let me work morning, nights, before we open, after we close. I just wanted to be so tired that when I got home, I would just pass out. You know, I didn't want to think about this. I didn't want to hear the dreams. I just wanted it all to stop. And I remember during one of my doubles, a girl offered me some homemade crack. It looked like peanut butter brittle. And I got this crazy rash all over my body. And that night, I was so high. I was so wound up. I was like, I'm getting out of town. I'm going to McAllen, Texas, and then I'm going to cross the border. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going for it. And I just started driving in my little hatchback, and I remember being so itchy, and I had one of the Gold Bond powder, and I just like driving a stick shift and throwing powder all over myself. And around 4:30 on I-10, I broke down, and my body just gave out. I had enough energy to call my dad and said, I'm somewhere on I-10. No idea where I'm at. He said, I'm coming. And he shows up, and I'm cuddled up on I-10, and he knocks, and he's like, what the heck is wrong with you? I'm covered in white. There's little mountains of white powder, everything. So he's like, what are you doing? I just kept spiraling out of control, and I thought I could really block out God chasing me. I thought I could say, you know what, I'm going to run away as fast as I can. I'm going to get as high as I can. I'm going to drive as fast as I can. I'm going to do this crazy stuff. I'm going to work as much as I can. Nah. And see, I wasn't just destroying my life. I was destroying the people around me as well. I had no legacy. If I would have died down there, that was my legacy. You know, I died on I-10, white, with a rash. I remember my... we came back to Kerrville, and my parents took me to the doctor, and the doctor said, what happened? And I was just like, yeah, it was just bad food poisoning, you know? And, which it was, you know, it was poisoning. God. See, my life kind of reminds me of another guy in the Bible, David. And David was just, he went through so much, you know. He was anointed at 15 to be king. Can you imagine the pressure of being anointed at 15 and saying, you're going to be the king of Israel? You're going to have the armies of God on your shoulders. No pressure. And then being chased by one of your heroes trying to kill you. How weird is it? I love this guy, but he's trying to kill me. And then becoming king and doing great things and doing awesome things for the Lord. And at the same time, being an anointed king, being a servant of God, totally messing things up. His life starts in Ruth 4:22, and you can read about his life through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, Kings. This is way too much to go into this morning. But here's where I do want to go into. Acts 13:22. See, he totally messed up. He committed adultery. He had that woman's husband killed. I mean, this guy. And in Acts 13:22, it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. See, his legacy could have been left off as he was an okay king and then he made some mistakes. But no, his legacy was completely turned around by the way he reacted to that moment he had. He had to make a choice in that moment. He had to make a decision. And his response was, see, he was confronted by Nathan. And I love David's response. I love David's response. If we look at Psalm 51, I'm gonna give you guys a little bit of time to get there. So last time I spoke, I love to talk about my grandpa who lives in Mexico. And he passed away about a month now, and he was about to be 93, Psalm 51. And whenever he was 82 or 83, I was here during worship, and the Holy Spirit said, go fly and see him. And I said, okay. And I went over there, and he said, he's not saved. And I was like, oh, brother. We're talking about a very righteous man. A man that employed towns, cities, hundreds of people, who, when anybody needed help, he was the man to call and ask for a vehicle, for money, for work, for food. Charity-wise, he was the man. So he was respected in the community as a righteous man. And I get there, and we're hanging out under the fig tree where we always hang out. And the Holy Spirit says, he's not saved. I'm like, I do not want to talk to my grandpa about being saved. And the Holy Spirit tells me, tell him that all his righteous acts are like filthy rags. I didn't want to say that to a man that people love and respect. And he was like, tell him. And I tell him that. And I'm like, okay, cool, that was, woo. And the Holy Spirit's like, no. He's not getting it yet. And I'm like, please, Holy Spirit, no more. He's just telling him about his other wife and his other kids. And I'm like, no. And I tell him, and he breaks down. And he gave his life to the Lord right in there. And see, legacy is not your whole life. You can restart. See, God restarts. God, He favors you. God equips you. God gives you a new beginning. God gives you a new legacy. And at 80-something, he started a whole new legacy. You know, even my dad worked for him, and when I talked to my dad about him, he was like, man, he was rough. Your grandpa was rough. He would come to the house and wake me up at 4 a.m. And, you know, he was a hard worker. But he was not known for being kind. He was not known for buddy-buddy, you know. And when he was born again, that new legacy that God gave him turned into a man that was known for kindness and mercy. When we buried my grandpa a month ago, as we were driving through the town, people started coming out of their homes and standing up and getting behind the cars. And I did not understand. And I know it's a cultural thing, part of it. And as we got all the way to the entrance of our little town, and I could see just this crowd of people, and I had to get out. I have a short video on my phone, and I got out, and people are just singing worship, and they're honoring him. And I think they honored, yes, his first part of his life, his first legacy. But I think they were honoring his latter legacy where God had saved them. Where he made an impact. What will your legacy look like? What will people say about you? For me now, people are like, oh, you're Rosie's dad. You're Frankie's dad. Like, I don't even know. Jose is not, I'm not cool anymore. It's my kids. And I love that. And I think if we live such a life that honors God and pleases God, people will say that about us. You're God's son. Psalm 51. Let's shift it into third gear. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out. That word means erase all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I'm going to skip over a little bit to verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Scholars believe that Psalm 32 was a part of his repentance from his sin in that aspect. I'm going to read it from over here, Psalm 32. Psalm 32 says, "Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty." See, there's a part of us when we totally mess it up, when we totally screw it up, that we just want to go hide in a rock and just, I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to be up front anymore. I don't want to be involved in church anymore. I don't want to call my friend that's all spiritual and stuff. And that is a total lie from the enemy. Because the Bible says that if you repent, you will be forgiven and you will be restored. And God's restoration for you is the new beginning, the new legacy. And that's why it says, "Oh, what a joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt." Man, that's so good. God will restore you. A couple years back, I had focused solely on work. Hear me out. And I thought, as a believer, please hear me. As a believer, I thought, you know, I only need to focus on work. I don't need my family anymore. I don't need my wife anymore. I got totally lost. But God, He sent a couple Nathans to my life. They're like, "What are you doing, Jose? We love you, man. You're not going away that easy." God wants to restore you. And these guys fought for me. They showed up to work, dragged me out of work, prayed for me when I wanted them to go away. See, we need Nathans in our life that will come and restore us and will speak life into us in mercy and in kindness and in love. It's easy to quote scripture and just say you've done wrong. But the real work, the real nitty-gritty, the real dirty work is coming beside someone that has totally messed up and said, "You know what? This is not it for you. Your legacy is better than this. God has given you a new legacy. And this is not where it's supposed to be. This is not the end." And I'm so glad they came. I'm so glad they dragged me out of work. And man, God has restored my relationship with my wife, with my kids. I love being a father. I absolutely love being a husband. And I think God is speaking the same thing individually to y'all. That it is not over. That legacy is something for you. See, legacy looks different. Some people will say, "Man, he was a great dad. Man, he was a great mechanic." he loved God well. We have to believe what God says about us, just like what he said about David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who would do my will, all of my will. You know, David's name means beloved. And I think that's not an incident, obviously, that he calls us beloved as well. And he's calling us back into a newness. And what I want to say to you this morning is that if you've lost your way, even as a believer, if you've lost focus, God wants to restore that to you. He is always, always, always chasing. If he can go get me on I-10, if he can come in through the walls and save me right before I commit suicide, you better believe it, he can get you too. Just like my grandfather, when he started over and created a whole new legacy, it doesn't matter what age, he wants to restore and bring new life. I'm going to bring this to a close. In 1 Kings chapter 2, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgment, his testimonies that is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." I'm going to break it down like this. At some point, we're all going to pass, and it is okay. And I think we should always think long-term, because God is a God who thinks long-term. He is a God of legacy. That's why there's books in the Bible that all it is just name after name, the son of blah, 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 the son of Jacob. It's not a mistake that it's there. It's there so that we know that God is a God of legacy. What does he say? That we should leave an inheritance to our children's children? He's always thinking long term. My challenge to y'all as I close it is to think about your legacy. To think, not what I've done, maybe yes in the physical and if you want to think about money and property, yes, get a will, please. Be practical. But what about the spiritual? What about the heavenly? That's all.
Is this mic on? Yeah. Thank you. That was so good. Wasn't that so good? I just wanted to, when Jose said something, I just really had to back it up with just, you know, testimony of when he said, you know, if you're a dad, that's your, some people, your legacy is dad. Some people, your legacy is mechanic. And, you know, different people have different legacies. And I know in our body, we constantly say we're all ministers. Like, it's not the people who have a title or something like that. Every one of us has an anointing. Every single one of us has a ministry. And when you said mechanic, it just brought to my mind how many times, like, you have a mechanic and you trust. Here's the anointing. Yeah. I can leave my car with somebody and I trust that they're looking out for our good. Yeah. And you know, you have those mechanics and you leave your car there and they say, and you think it could be anything and they could tell me anything because I don't know anything about my car. But they're looking out for your good and they're walking in their anointing and they're walking in their testimony. And that mechanic, you just have that sense of trust and you go back to get your car and they fixed it and it didn't cost you an arm and a leg. And that's their anointing. They're walking in their legacy. And when you remember them, you remember they treated you with honesty and truth and integrity. And then we had a doctor in Fort Worth, a pediatrician. And every single time we went, he would look out for our kids. He knew David was a pastor. He knew we didn't have very much money. We didn't have good insurance. And so he would give us the samples. I mean, he had that option when he, you know, the medicine that he prescribed, he would give those to us. He would sometimes not even charge us. And I felt the anointing and the presence of God because he walked in an integrity with the people he loved, with the people he served. He walked in truth. He walked in integrity. He walked in honesty. And I would leave there and I would always call David crying and say, Dr. Elliott is going to be on the right hand of Jesus. Like, you know, people have these pictures of this or that, but I just knew he's one of those guys that's sitting right there with Jesus. You know, that's my, you know, when we walk in our integrity, I just really want to back up what you said. I just thought it was so beautiful. Everything we do, let's leave that legacy of honesty and integrity and truth, and that we have done whatever we've done according to the Lord. So anyway, thank you so much. I just felt like I had to say that because I didn't want anybody to write off the mechanic part. There's an anointing for everything we do to do unto the Lord. Thank you.